Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
So this is just me speaking. I'm an IFO, all right? I'm not emotional the way you are, Teak, the way Sean and Loogie is. The New York Giants won a football game yesterday because their defense showed us a lot of what they're capable.
100%.
They forced multiple turnovers. They made the big stop when they needed to. Big time, especially that Brian Burns sack on 3rd and 9, as we're all just assuming, Justin Herbert's going to march down the field, and Dicker, the big kicker, is going to tie the game,
right,
or maybe they'll just win the game. The Giant defense came up big, and you won an awesome football game against a good team. That's my headline, but I think for many others,
It's
the Jackson Darty party.
Well, you can't not mention Jackson Dart. Because of how different it felt, and actually more importantly, how different it looked. I joked with you guys midway through this game when I wrote our text chat. I was calling this game with Jerry Recco, and it was fun to call it. It just felt like the energy was real in the stadium. But I joked with you guys, and I said, Mike Kafka is going to be a head coach next year because Jackson Dart is his quarterback right now.
By the way, my return fire to Tiki was very inappropriate, but I also thought funny. He said Mike Kafka is going to be a head coach next year, and I said, yeah, he's going to be coaching the Giants.
But I say that because look how different the play calling was. If you watch this game, it was so many different variations of things that they do, inside zone, you know, zone reads, all that stuff, but it felt so dynamic and so winnable. And then you have a dog at quarterback who, it ultimately didn't matter on this one play, but you remember the 3rd and 1, or was it, maybe it was even 4th and 1, I can't remember what it was. He ran into the line of scrimmage, got stopped, got pushed back, ran out, went around the left edge, put his shoulder down, and jumped into the... You know, jump for the first down. They were offsides anyways, the Chargers, so it would have been a first down.
But that was awesome.
But just watching that play was like, dude, this kid takes will not take no for an answer. And it reminds me of the conversation we had last week about Cameron Scataboo, who uses his physicality to like inspire his teammates. And so what's happened, to take what you first said to start this segment, is the defense is playing with a ridiculous lights-out energy, and all three of those guys are getting after the quarterback. They didn't show up in the sack totals, but the QB hit totals and the pressure totals were off the chart in this game. But then on the offense, they're playing with the same energy because of Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart.
In fact, that opinion you just offered was said very interestingly by Jermaine Illuminor after the game. It's very quick, but take a listen to what he said about the energy and the passion of Jackson Dart.
Confidence he carries himself with and just the swagger he has is contagious.
The swagger he has is contagious.
Yeah.
That jumped out at me when I was listening to the post game and what everyone was saying. Because that's interesting.
He reminds me as a more physically talented Baker Mayfield.
How about that?
So think about Baker, how he plays.
Yes.
He has an attitude. Like, he wants to talk trash to you. Like, he wants to, like, lift his teammates by being the aggressor all the time. And that's how Jackson plays. Now, it worries me slightly because he took a lot of hits.
And also had to go very quickly into the medical tent because of those hits he's taking.
I see it differently. So what happened on that play, it was a scramble. He went 70 yards. He got called back because of a John Michael Schmitz hold in the backfield, but he ran 70 yards.
And he was also stiff-arming at the end,
and he was
right?
trying to stiff-arm. Dude, kid, keep your hands out of people's faces, right? Especially your throwing hand.
Yes.
But that's another story. But like, it was an exhausting run. He started all the way to the right, came all the way back across the field to the left. He finished down at the left, you know, 10-yard line, left sidelines, 10-yard line. I think he was just gassed. I think he was out of breath because he laid there just kind of like.
So the way he acted was why the league buzzed down?
What? And he walked back. Not like subtle jog. He took a slow, by himself, steady walk all the way back. And I think he was just trying to catch his breath.
Right.
But because like he was, you know, I don't know, he didn't look right. They buzzed down and made him go take the concussion test.
He had a very good to solid debut, would be the way I phrase it. Dude, like, he had a really solid debut.
It wasn't exceptional.
Exactly. That's why I'm not saying amazing or great. It was very solid.
He completed 65% of his passes, which is good. He made the right decisions, never put the ball in harm's way. He threw for 111 yards, one shovel touchdown. It wasn't even like a pretty touchdown. But he ran for 60 yards.
And he also did, like you said, he didn't make any turnover mistakes.
No, he didn't.
He made mistakes because I'm going to ask you this later because I'm so curious how many of the sacks is on him.
Right.
But in terms of turning the ball over, which is always the bugaboo of like a young quarterback, he didn't do it one time.
No, he didn't. He didn't make the throw that he could have for a 50-50 ball to, I don't know, Wandell or whoever heck was running a big over route. Like, he didn't take those throws. And so to answer your question before you ask it, he ended up taking the sacks.
Right.
And so he'll learn. The completion. Who cares about the completion percentage? You don't need to lose 8 yards to protect your completion percentage. And I don't think that's what he was doing. Right. I just think he wanted to. A big shot was called, and he didn't want to throw it, but he didn't know what else to do with the ball.
Right.
Type of thing.
No,
so
I get you.
By the way, that comes with experience, and he'll get that. But for a debut, first of all, the energy, which I talked about, the swagger that Jermaine Illuminor talked about, it was there. But the most important thing to me was. The play calling is so different. And it just makes me sit here and say, you know what? You can say whatever you want about Dabes. He was right. Not necessarily about Russ and starting.
Oh, about Jackson being ready?
No, just about having a quarterback who's a difference maker.
Yeah, no. You could see it.
That is what Dabes has wanted. And I think the issue, if I want to just do a quick reset of history, back in 2022, the Giants, they had an okay roster. You know, pretty good quarterback, really good running back. O-line is what it is. We knew that it was going to be their strength. They had an okay roster. And they felt like, you know what, let's just see what we do. See what happens. Let's try to win some games. Well, they won games.
Yeah.
And they got into the playoffs. But the problem was, it wasn't the team that Dabes wanted. And so it was this fool's gold. You're playing with iron pyrite here, trying to make it into something real. When the next season comes around and the season after that comes around, it's like, we're actually not that good.
Right.
We don't actually have that much talent. And so by winning right away, instead of stripping it down right away, like being bad and being able to strip it down and bring the guys you want in year two and year three, they kind of just puddled along with nonsense.
No, you're right. The success of 22 turned out to be the worst possible
100%.
Thing.
Because I think back to when Tom Coughlin took over after Jim Fossil in 2004, I mean, we had some good players, little vets that were going to be there for a while, Amani, Strahan, et cetera, but we didn't have a good team.
Right.
And so we basically stripped it down. We stunk because we started Eli. He got that experience. But we used that first year of Tom Coughlin to build something better for year two and three and four and on. And they ended up winning the championship. Dabes and Shane did it. We can win now. Let's just win. The urgency to win kind of undercut the ability to put the team together that they want. And so now I look at this team with Jackson Dart, with Andrew Thomas, who was unbelievable again in pass blocking, with Cam Scataboo, who is a football dog, right? That dude limped off the field yesterday. Like, whew, man, welcome to the NFL in 25 carries. Man, we don't do this anymore. You got a defense that has pass rushers that will get after your ass on every single play.
We saw the best of it yesterday.
Dude, it was unbelievable. And you got Shane Bowen finally playing some zone. Force, just give up that bench route. Give up that 8-yard out. Who cares? Make the tackle. Right, and that's exactly what they did. They made it hard and challenging for one of the best offenses in the NFL to go make big plays after the catch. We'll concede.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
You know, 6-7 yards, go make big plays after the catch. But by the way, we're going to get in your quarterback's face every single snap.
And we're going to force 2 turnovers and turn it into points.
Right.
Which is really the difference.
And this is the team that I think they've always wanted. It took them too long to get it.
Yeah. There's two negatives I take coming out of Sunday. Number one is the obvious, and let's just address it because we haven't yet. And that's what happened to Malik Nabers, who was done for the season.
That sucks.
It sucks for Malik. I mean, it sucks for him, number one. And obviously, his fans, it sucks even more. And I'll tell you, the other thing that kind of sucks is with Malik Nabers on the field, Jackson Dart threw for 60 of his 110 yards. And that was in a quarter and a half.
Yep.
With Nabers off of the field, and I'll tell you a great example of where you lose Malik Nabers and it really, really sucks. When you throw a touchdown pass and it can't be held on to by Wandale Robinson.
Right. That ball was in his hand.
Dude, that's a catch.
Yeah.
That's a drop. That needs to be caught. That was a play by Jackson Dart. And so what I'm afraid of, not just next week, the week after, is are we going to really see the best of Jackson Dart when you take away one of the better wide receivers in the sport? And here's the other thing, and this isn't hyperbolic to say, I think you guys would mostly agree with me, that wide receiving room without Malik Nabers is bottom five in the league. Mm. It may be the worst in the league.
Well, there's no threat.
Nothing.
There's no, oh man, what are we doing with this guy? There's no, if we play cover man coverage, we got to make sure that safety is on top of this guy. There's none of that.
It's why, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, I am not a Giant fan. I'm an IFO. Yesterday, if I'm a Giant fan, would have been such a mixed bag kind of day.
Of course.
I would have been so pumped about the win number 100%.
100%.
I'd have been pumped about the signs I saw from Jackson Dart. But you're losing Malik Nabers for the entire season to a torn ACL?
Right.
It's almost like you look at the football gods and say, are you serious, bro? are you really serious about this?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it because the NFL, it is and will always be a next man up business. One man's injury creates another man's opportunity. And we have been waiting for 3 years now for Jalin Hyatt to be anything. Like, I don't even have an opinion on him because I don't know what to judge him off of. Bo Collins, undrafted rookie from Notre Dame. We saw one humongous play in the preseason. I have no idea what to expect from him. But those guys are going to get opportunities. And so when you get an opportunity, what do you do with it? You just squander it away and let them replace you with somebody else? Or do you take it and run with it? So those guys got to step up. And I know it's easy to say that, and I hate when you say, hey, you got to step up and do something, because I can't control that. Only they can control that.
Right.
So,
but it's true.
It's true.
But it's just absolutely
it's
true.
It's their opportunity. There is nobody on the waiver wire. There's no free agent sitting out there.
It'd be a little Jordan Humphrey off the practice squad.
Maybe. Probably.
He had some rapport with Dart in the preseason.
Almost definitely.
That's you guys interested now in Lazard?
No.
Would you want to?
No. Not at all.
No.
As much as I love Odell, no. Not him either.
Oh, wow.
So
I think he wrote the script on that yesterday when he ripped the Kill Life Field. What did he call it?
Death Life Stadium.
Death Life Stadium?
It's pretty funny. Not wrong about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But you're right. Like, there's no one walking through that door.
No.
And that's just, it's unfortunate for, obviously, Leak, but it's unfortunate for Giant fans. And it's unfortunate in evaluating Jackson Dart.
Yep.
The other thing about Dart, and you kind of touched on this, so I am not saying anything that you wouldn't disagree with. He makes me a little nervous. He plays the game with a reckless abandon, which you have to love.
Right.
It's a toughness. It's a doggedness to it. But is that sustainable?
Right.
And I just don't know if that is.
It's exactly like Baker Mayfield used to play.
No, you're right.
He was just wild.
But can you stay on the field for every snap?
And that's the challenge.
So here's
what's happening right now with Jackson Dart. So game was yesterday. It was a little less than 24 hours. A little more than 20. It started, but it finished a little less than 24 hours ago. He is probably sore than he's ever been because he's got a little bit of a hamstring. He took some shots, some he delivered, and it's not playing against, I don't know, Vanderbilt, even though Vanderbilt's good this year. I'm not even, whoever, playing against Georgia, and 60% or 80% of those players are not NFL players. These are beasts.
They're big men.
Huge, huge, like intended defenders, and he took a lot of heat. And so he's sore today. There's no doubt about it. But you won, so it feels it's good sore.
Oh, absolutely.
So as long as you are, it's hurting. Are you hurt? Are you injured? It's hurting, and you're not injured, you're good to go.
How long can that last, though? That's my worry. Not how he comes out of Sunday, but how he's going to come out of next Sunday.
I don't know. I mean, he's a stout kid, so he's put together. We met him. You saw him. He's a put-together kid. But part of his game, what makes him so exciting, is he can run.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
And you have to do it.
There were so many positive things about Jackson Dart, and I don't want to be right with what I'm about to say, and I'm not being negative or being a jerk. I'm being honest. I don't think he gets through the full season. That would be my... And look, we kind of saw a preview of it when they pulled him out, even though it was because of the way he got up. Like this
That
is,
wasn't the Giants, though.
No, I know
that
it's the league,
NFL.
But it's
right.
the league.
Right, right.
I just have a tough time seeing him get through the final, what are we up to, 13 games of the season? It's the way I look at it.
Okay. I mean, most quarterbacks don't. Most quarterbacks do miss a game or two. He's going to have to learn.
Oh, especially in this era. You're 1,000% right.
Lamar Jackson is hurt now.
Yeah. You're right. Look, I think in 2025, a quarterback getting through a full season is just less likelier or less likely than it was 15 years ago. How excited are you?
I'm over the moon. I'm excited. Look, but I'm not going to overreact. You're right. There were a lot of rookie mistakes in there. But there was a moment yesterday in the shadow of their own end zone when he rolled out and used his hand to wave Darius Slayton to come back to football. I mean, that was it for me. I looked around at people with me, and I said, we're allowed to do that? The quarterback on the Giants is allowed to make that kind of play?
Right.
And then,
to be aware enough to make that
kind
aware. Of play.
And then the idea, and they talked about it in the postgame, the improvising with Theo Johnson on that third down, just sit.
Right.
Oh, wait, we're allowed to throw the ball on third down to try to kill time at the end of the game? Those two moments were just, I mean, that told me everything I needed to know about Jackson Dart.
Right, of course. I mean, they were playing zone. And again, by the way that they play called this game, it forced the Chiefs defense to be predictable. And it's something that Jesse Minter hasn't been so far this year in the three division wins that he had to start the season. They were predictable. They were just crushing them on the run game. And so they had to bring the weak side safety, who was Derwin James. They had to bring him. They had to just keep bringing him. And when you do that, you're going to get burned, so you got to play zone behind him. So it became so predictable, you knew how to call the play that was going to get you the first down.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. You are now in love with Jackson Dart.
I'm tepidly in love, but I'm prepared that my heart broke, so I just want to see how this plays out. Okay. I don't like Jackson Dart.
I'm sorry, what was that, Sean?
I don't like Jackson Dart. By the way, you go to the archive, you can find a lot of quarterbacks in the draft I didn't like, I was wrong about. I don't like Jackson Dart. Didn't like Josh Allen either.
Well, you wanted Cam Ward, and he is struggling.
Yeah, he's off to a rough start.
Jackson won before Cam Ward.
I know.
Bottom line is this. We know the next decade of football in New York set now, and we're good to go.
There you go. There's no jumping to a million miles after that. We'll get back to your calls next. Incredibly busy Monday in New York sports. The death of the New York Mets. They're gone. But we are figuring out what went wrong. The birth of the Jackson Dart era as the New York Giants get their first win of the year. And oh, by the way, the Jets play later tonight. And oh, by the way, the Yankees did everything they could to win the American League East. But give Toronto credit, they responded at the end. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees are in the wild card series and will play the Boston Red Sox tomorrow night. So there is a lot going on. If you've missed any of our comments and statements from the first hour and a half of this show, you could rewind it on the Odyssey app. We'll check in on our Jackson Dart stat predictions a little bit later on, and we will all hear from President David Stearns within the hour. But a lot of opinions, so let's hear from you. Brandon is calling from the Jersey Shore. Good afternoon, Brandon.
Hey, Evan Teague. How are you today?
All's good.
What's up?
Good. I want to bring up 3 points with the Mets. The other point that nobody's brought up yet, I believe, in the show is how there's not really a direct correlation between teams having success by winning 100 wins, winning a division, as there is with a wild card team, and also about the Jackson Dart positivity.
Yes, go ahead.
We go a little more detail as to why, as far as teams maybe don't have success, you know, winning 100 games or winning a division. It's going, I think, with the rustiness and maybe sitting for a week, it might be an issue. And the thing with the teams winning maybe 82 wins or just sneaking in, maybe they have more, maybe just being a little bit more hotter at the time, being a little more fresh. And how about the Brewers and the Tigers? What's up with them? You know, a month ago, we were thinking that they're going to win a lot of these games 100 plus easily. And then a month goes, you know, last month goes by and nothing happens.
Baseball is 100 wins. Well, here's why. Baseball's a streaky sport and nobody's that good. Like, even the Brewers, they were good. They were the best. They're not that good. Mm. The Blue Jays are the best, technically. Not that good. And I think the bye, you know, we're still figuring it out because it began in 2022. And we've seen the Yankees now on both ends of it. We've seen the Yankees as a division winner with a bye. This year we'll experience the Yankees in the wild card round. I think there is something to losing the momentum of playing baseball every single day.
Yeah.
But I'd still rather get the bye because I don't want to risk losing a best of three series.
Because anything can happen in those short series.
Yes.
Your ace could have a bad outing. And all of a sudden, you're behind the eight ball and could be done in two.
Yes, that's why give me the risk of being cold. Now, the other thing is, I saw the Phillies are doing this, and I wonder if next year, if the Mets or Yankees wins a division and has a bye, they'd consider doing it. The Phillies are playing inter-squad scrimmages in the middle of the week.
That's actually smart.
And they're selling tickets.
Oh, really?
Which is funny to me.
It is funny.
I would totally go to that, by the way. In like a dream world where the Mets are gutless, I'd go to that
for like $8?
Yeah, $10. $10.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's cheap.
I was going to say.
Would you go to that, Sean, if the Yankees got the first round bye? Little inter-squad Yankee game on a Tuesday night?
Probably not.
No?
No. I think I'd go if we were like a little engine that could out of nowhere team that got the bye. You know what I mean? The Yankees, eh.
Let's go to Zach in Florida. What's up, Zach?
What's going on, guys? So I usually tend to lean on the more positive side of the aisle. When I'm sitting there, as Francisco Lindor grounds into a double play, I'm sitting on my couch thinking, is this sports thing really worth it anymore? I mean, I watch all 162 Met games, all 82 Ranger games, all 17 Jet games. I listen to Boomer and Gio every day. I listen to BT and Sal every day. I listen to you guys every day. I listen to Joe on the weekend. I listen to Rico. I listen to that podcast, this podcast. I'm flying to New York all the time. And I'm just, outside of a couple Ranger runs and the Mets last season, The misery and the depression significantly outweighs the hope, the optimism, and the celebration. And I just don't know if I should keep doing this anymore. And after all that, I'm on my way to a Jet tailgate for the Jet game.
After all that,
you can't help yourself. You can't quit it. What are you trying to do to yourself?
I've thought about what he just said. I thought about it last week as the Mets and the Jets were struggling at the same time. And I thought it about again yesterday when Lindor hit the double play. And what I continue to tell myself, even though I'm a million miles away from it, is the more pain you suffer as a sports fan, the more satisfying it'll be when you finally win.
Yeah.
And that's what I've told myself my entire life. The problem I'm running into, and I don't think most people in the audience are running into this problem just based on the way New York sports is broken down, is I'm borderline hopeless. Like, I root for the Mets. They just suffered the biggest disaster maybe in the history of New York sports. I root for the Jets, who, while I hope they beat the Dolphins tonight, we know they're a million miles away from winning a championship.
Yeah, not close.
And I know I only represent about 5% when I say this. I root for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, at least if you're a Knicks fan, you could talk yourself into, hey, we're going to be the favorites coming out of the East. Why
not? The Nets still in the league.
And so I even said this at the end of the Rico last night, and I'll say it now. I'm being perfectly honest. No troll. I'm so jealous. I wish I was a Knicks fan because at least I would be able to compartmentalize my pain and suffering and say, hey, I got a real shot to win an NBA title.
Whether I'm a loser.
Whether right. you do or don't, I don't
have
know.
Something truly interesting to look forward to this upcoming season.
That's right.
But you had it with the Mets.
And then I've got to watch the Jets tonight and Michael Porter Jr. do dumb interviews where he's explaining the kind of woman he likes. I mean, geez, that's my sports life.
Mm. Did he really do that?
He's done a lot of stupid stuff. Really? I'm already ready for that guy to be off my team. He hasn't even played a game yet.
What was the other thing he did a couple of weeks ago? He saw Ubers? Was it the Uber thing?
Yeah, he's dropped $200 a day on Ubers.
Where are you going, dude?
So what I would say to Zach and what I would say to anybody else is at least you have the Knicks. Because the reality is, no offense, Ranger fans, Islander fans, and even Devil fans, they're the closest, bro. They are a well-run franchise, and they have a realistic chance to win an NBA championship.
And they have the talent, and in the NBA, so much of it is about who's your star, and do you have the talent around them?
Yes. Now, the reason I didn't include the Yankees, I don't want to insult you guys, is because I was speaking to Met fans and how Met fans felt after yesterday. Obviously, if you're a Met fan, you're not going to sit there and say, ooh, let's go Yankees. Unless you're whipping out the old Craig Carton Mets fans for Yankees garbage. Like, that's it. Let's go to Matt in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. What's up, Matt?
Good day, gentlemen. I really just wanted to talk to Tommy. Tommy actually went to East Stroudsburg, and all year I've been hearing him run his mouth about little brother, big brother. I want Tommy to take the L on this and admit who's the big brother of New York. So, Tommy, go for it, buddy. You're giving East Stroudsburg some shame.
But, Matt, before you continue, you've done something very serious around here. Mm. You have selected or requested Tommy Lou Gower go on trial and wear an L. And we have to have a proper fairness to this. Mm. So before Tommy says anything, I'm going to protect you as a lawyer. Can you please play the clip of Tommy Lou Gower, for those that haven't heard it, repeating over and over and over again that the Yankees are little brother? You have a clip there.
The Yankees were the big brother. Now you're the little brother. That's right. The Mets are the big brother. And if you don't like it, do something about it.
Okay. Tiki Barber.
Wow.
Should Tommy wear an L?
Oh, man. I don't know what the Yankees could do about it.
Oh, they just did. They made the playoffs.
They always make the playoffs. So they never were really little brother. This was kind of just a fiction that was swimming around in positive Tommy's head.
So you can't wear an L for something that was never true, is what you're saying?
Yes.
That's a good way to look at it.
And he kind of had to start dart thing forever.
That has nothing to do with this.
I know, but I just can't help but feel a soft place in my heart for Tommy.
All right. Sean, where do you stand on this? Is that worthy of...
saying no.
Actually, Sean's in the bathroom. I'm not going to bother him. He's doing a project I gave him. Tommy, would you like to address the masses and apologize for saying something that, as Tiki Barber said, was completely untrue?
I would like to address the masses, yes, and go Warriors, by the way, East Stroudsburg University. I was wrong.
Whoa!
Oh.
Whoa!
Nice!
Holy crap!
But. Round one goes to the Yankees. And you as Yankee fans should celebrate. I've ate my words. I've heard from many of you on social media. I continue to hear from many of you on social media. Round one goes to the Yankees. But there's this old phrase, Evan and Tiki, you guys know this being historians. You want to win the war, not just the battle. You won this battle. I will concede this to you guys, but you haven't heard the last of me on this topic. For now, you win, but you have not heard the last of me. And we'll find out here because this is a long contract that Juan Soto has signed. And the Yankees ultimately, last time I checked, the Yankees are measured by winning championships. Got to win championships. It's not just about selling out. It's not just about, as Tiki pointed out, getting to October. You got to win championships.
Okay.
You got further than the Mets this year.
It's true.
Kudos. Got to win a championship. We'll see how it long plays out. You won round one. I give you round one, too.
Look, the Mets have to win a championship, too. I mean, that's the bar. And I think that anyone today, and you have a right to as Yankee fans, by the way. I'm not criticizing you. You should. Any Yankee fan taking their pound of flesh today before they focus on the Red Sox, you have every right to.
Of course you do.
But be warned. You know, if Soto's on a float next October, you're going to take an L, too.
I think the only way...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That can even think about talking about being Big Brother as if they consistently, that's more than once, get deeper in the playoffs than the Yankees.
Yeah, I think it goes further than that. I think the Mets have to, A, win a championship and then proceed to be what the Yankees are, which is a playoff team every year.
Yeah.
They have already missed out. Forget the championship. We're miles away from that. They even missed out on the small goal of just being a consistent playoff team by missing the playoffs this year in a bloated postseason to a mediocre Reds team. Like, that is a major setback in trying to be what the Yankees are. And I've admitted this to Yankee fans. Of course I want to be you. You make the playoffs every year.
Right, simple.
And I think you have a chance to win a World Championship every single season. I know you haven't done it in a while, but you were in the World Series last year. I want that. I want to be that. And I think what this year was for most of us as Met fans is the cold water was poured on our face. Mm-hmm. We got a ways to go. Because to miss the playoffs in this bloated format is embarrassing. And let me tell something to the Cincinnati Reds, who I have no issue with. I have no issue with the Cincinnati Reds. I like Terry Francona. No problem with Ellie De La Cruz. I'm jealous of your pitching staff. No harm, no foul. But the Reds decided to take this moment of making the postseason and mock the Mets. They mocked my good friend Sal Licata earlier today.
Did they really?
When they played a clip of him on SNY. Hello, SNY. Are we on SNY right now? I'm confused.
Soon to be.
They mocked.
Or if not yet, right now. Yes, we are.
They mocked. They took a clip from SNY in which Sal Licata, as host, asked Dan Grasso a very simple question. I think it was, are you afraid of the Reds? Or are you intimidated by the Reds? And Dan gave the answer that's correct, as did Sal. No. And the Reds used that to mock us and mock them. Let me make this very clear to the Cincinnati Reds. We blew it. We blew it. The story around baseball isn't you grabbing it. Yeah. You lost game 162. You blew it too. We just blew it more. So until you do something like win a round, and I'll be rooting for you, by the way, again, no harm, no foul. I don't mind the Cincinnati Reds.
Dodgers.
Go beat the Dodgers. Right. I'd love to see it. Seriously. I really believe that. I argued with Sean about that last week. Totally. But until you do something, don't be like spiking the football on Dan or Sal's face. They said the truth. We weren't intimidated by you. And even at the end, we weren't. Because it wasn't you who made the playoffs. It was the Mets missing the playoffs. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
No, you're right about that. The Mets had every opportunity, and they were given to it by the Reds. I mean, everybody was playing at the same time, so it was hard to see a causation there. But in real time, as you watched it, and the Reds ran out to a lead, and the Brewers had zero to play for. They were already locked in with the best record. Even if they end up tied with the Phillies, they have the tiebreaker. They had nothing to play for.
The Cincinnati Reds had three games against the Pirates at home, and they lost two out of three.
Mm-hmm.
They had three games against the Brewers, who had nothing to play for, especially by the end, and they only won two out of three. So quite frankly, we blew it. You didn't earn it. Now, with all that said, go Reds. I'd love to see you beat the Dodgers. I'd have no bitterness towards you. Now, David Stearns is meeting his makers right now. He is meeting the media. Let us go very much live to the Man from Milwaukee desk that we've created here in the Evan and Tukey studios to kind of find out what David Stearns has had to say so far. Sean, where should we start?
I think we should start on the future of the manager of the New York Mets.
Let's hear it.
Are you prepared to say that Carlos will definitely be the manager next year?
Yeah, Carlos is coming back next year.
So that has been put to rest.
Quick and easy.
Well, there's a follow-up to that now.
As we speculated.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Carlos Mendoza the right person going forward?
Yeah, I believe Carlos has all the same traits and assets that I believed in when we hired him 2 years ago. And I think over the course of his tenure here, he has demonstrated that. We had a tough year this year. There's no question. We are all disappointed. We are all frustrated. Mendy as much or more than anyone else. But I still believe he's a very good manager. And I think he's going to demonstrate that.
I know there are a lot of Met fans that don't want to hear that. especially hours after the season ended and hours after Carlos Mendoza authored one of the worst managed games you'll ever see by being in a rush to pull Sean Manaea. But overall, I do agree with the man from Milwaukee. Carlos Mendoza's first year here has earned him that second chance after massive failure in year two. Now, what David Stearns needs to address and what is very important to me is what he's going to do to that coaching staff. And he'll never admit this, nor should he, but how hot that seat's going to be for Mendy next year, because quite frankly, it should be very hot.
Yes. No audio on this because it's very quick. They're going to evaluate over the course of the next week to 10 days on the future of the coaching staff under Mendy. But the next part of this is David Stearns, and we'll play these two clips in a row, has put a lot of the Met problems on their pitching staff.
I think holistically, as I look at our pitching staff, we needed to do more over the course of the season. That became that is very clear. What we were faced at the deadline, I think our fan base would actually be perhaps even more upset if we had made some of those moves. But the entirety of our run prevention unit was not good enough this year.
Entirety of our run prevention unit. interesting way to say it.
It's the way these people speak. And by these people, I mean the geeks that run baseball.
Yeah.
Our run prevention unit is doing a great job.
And think about it. The ball's on me to call someone else a geek. Right. Well, guess what? He's geekier than I am.
Well, I get it because we obviously know what you're talking about. But what he's essentially saying is that there were no good options at the trade deadline.
The
options that we started the season with failed us.
Well, the counter to that is something Sean always says about Brian Cashman, and I think it applies better here with David. Then you didn't do a good enough job before the season.
True.
You signed Frankie Montas. I didn't sign Frankie Montas. The prior administration didn't sign Frankie Montas.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were adding pitchers and you could have signed, I don't know, Nick Pivetta or Jose Quintana or trade for Garrett Crochet, you signed Frankie Montas. So I get it, and I agree that the trade deadline did not pose a lot of great starting pitching options. Completely agree with that. Who was traded? And he's probably right. They asked for the moon if you tried to trade for Zach Gallen or whomever. But that goes back to the initial problem, man from Milwaukee. You signed David Stearns. We didn't, okay? That's on you, bro.
Which is interesting because he was then asked what he thinks is going to be the easiest thing for him to fix about this Met team in the offseason.
Going forward, what do you see as the most fixable thing for this club?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep harping on run prevention. Like that is where we fell short this year. It's where we need to get better. I think we will. I think that improvement can come both internally and externally. I very much believe in our player development apparatus. I believe we're developing very good pitchers. I think we're going to continue to do that, and that's going to continue to be an emphasis.
David, here's the issue, okay? The starting pitching sucked. We all know that, and you're preaching to what we already know.
Right.
That run prevention wasn't good enough.
Right.
Okay?
You hear what he was saying, though. He's talking about developing pitchers.
Yes.
He's talking about his farm system.
Absolutely, and they have a great farm system.
Right.
I mean, when you look at even the three kids we saw in Beyond, no question the Mets have a good staff, but he's missing a major, major issue. A major issue. That every time I bring up, people get like pissed at me for saying, because it's like, oh, it's not true. The New York Mets in 2025 scored two fewer runs than they scored last year. And that is off of adding Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And that is off of Pete Alonso, who God knows if the man from Milwaukee actually wants to pay, having a great season. You scored two fewer runs. So I mentioned earlier, you got to have tough conversations, awkward conversations, difficult conversations. Have that conversation. Because if you are going to say, well, the Mets failed because of pitching, end of story, then you are not looking at the entire picture. Mm-hmm. You are not looking at the entire body because the offense wasn't good enough. They went to Miami and scored 7 runs in 3 games. It's not good enough. The Saturday and Sunday against the Nationals was not good enough. Now, it's complicated, Teague. I'll be the first to tell you because you look individually and you're like, Brandon Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, I don't get it. Figure it out. But don't tell me it's just the pitching. Once we fix it, we're good. Because you didn't score enough runs. You did not score enough runs, and you can't argue it because they didn't.
And it's exacerbated by 162, where you scored 0.
Yeah, well, look at the big games down the stretch.
Of course.
What'd they do on Friday night when they needed to win?
Right.
What'd they do? Even on Saturday, they ended up scoring five runs. They had three until the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
What'd they do against Washington the final weekend of the year? And even the majority of the year, there were too many games in which the offense went to sleep. So if he thinks it's just pitching, he's mistaken. Now, pitching obviously was a huge issue. No one is disputing that.
Right.
And the other thing about relying on just young pitching is you're taking a leap of faith because you just don't know. You need some reliability in that rotation. And right now, who's the most reliable starter in the Met rotation?
Nolan McClain.
Well, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
A kid who's made eight major league starts.
And then after that, I'd probably say Clay Holmes.
Okay, so a converted reliever who just had his first year as a starter.
I'm being honest.
You're not wrong, Teak. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you that's not great answers.
I mean, I hope that Kodai Senga figures out what the hell is wrong with him. And if, so for next year, you're not worried about, is he going to go three innings or is he going to pitch seven? And you have no idea with Kodai Senga.
And
he gave us nothing at the end of the year to think about for next year.
David Stearns has a major issue. And it's such a major issue that isn't major, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
His major issue is when he speaks to us and fans, because I know the way a lot of people think. I know what Beningo is going to think when he hears this guy speak. I know what a lot of people are going to think. They're going to think, no matter what he's saying, he is an arrogant, smarter-than-you geek.
Right.
And that's, by the way, not fair, but I can just hear it. There isn't emotion in his voice. And I don't care about it, I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm just listening to what he's saying. And, like, I disagree with not bringing up the offense. Like, I'll argue about it, but I'm telling you right now, the way he speaks is just going to piss off a lot of Met fans. I can just feel in my bones right now.
Yeah, because he's matter of fact. He's not trying to sugarcoat anything. He's just matter of fact telling you what he thinks the answers are.
And even
some of it is analytics, which we don't want to hear. Because as a fan or even someone just evaluating an IBO, you kind of want the emotion, and he's giving to you flat.
No, he's just giving you, well, run prevention isn't good enough. Like, I don't care about it, but I'm telling you right now, Met fans are going to hear this and be like, oh, my God, this guy. Mm. And the truth is, David Stearns has to take the blame for this.
What else can he do, though? No. I mean, all he can do is take the blame.
Well, he has to, because most of the Met failures is on the horrific moves that he made.
Okay, David Stearns was asked, he's mentioned a lot about the pitching. What about this offense and what about the core? Does he foresee anything other than Pete Alonso really changing about this team going
forward? All right,
let's
hear it.
David? Dave, aside from Pete Alonso's free agency, position-wise, you guys do have a lot of people coming back and the same core that you've had for a while. Do you anticipate making significant changes to that group? I know you talked about run prevention and some suboptimal positioning.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to be open-minded on our position player grouping so that we can improve our run prevention. You know, does that mean there are robust changes? I don't know. Does it mean people could be playing different positions? Maybe. Does it mean we ask people to play different roles? Maybe. A day after a season ends, I'm certainly not going to commit to what things look like in spring training or opening day. But, run prevention this year was not good enough. And that is both pitching and defense. They go hand in hand, and we need to improve them both.
On that same vein, do you think there's something about this particular mix of players that you have that just didn't, you know, you talk about, I know it's just one step, but, you know, their inability to come back late, and that's, I know it's one step, but you were the only team not to do it. Is there something about the way this team kind of played together during some of its more crucial times?
You know, it's a very natural question because of some of those types of stats that are out there. I can tell you my experience in the clubhouse throughout this year is we had guys who cared about each other, who cared about winning, who worked hard. It's very difficult for me to explain how we were 0-70 trailing going into the ninth. I mean, that's an inexplicable stat. And I'm not going to hear him make up an answer for it.
Well, at least he was honest with that one. 0-70.
Yes, and
0-70,
and he is only team not to make that comeback. He is also saying he doesn't put that on the mix of players, which he may be right about. Who knows about chemistry? Here's my problem with the answer: he did not address the lineup. He did not address that they didn't score enough runs. He said run prevention. Our defense wasn't good enough, which he's not wrong about.
Well, I mean,
they did a lot of things bad, including defense and pitching. But I'll say it again. They scored two fewer runs this year than they scored last year.
Right.
They got shut out in game 162. Their offense wasn't good enough. So here's the code of what David is saying. Pete Alonso is either gone or he's going to DH a lot. That's what David Stearns just told you.
Well, that's what he wants.
And what I would tell David Stearns is, I get it. I'm not even going to defend Pete's defense down the stretch. I won't. He wasn't good enough. But if you let him go because you want to improve your run prevention, explain to me how you're going to replace the run production.
Oh, because Schwarber, that's how you replace it. You even told me that a week ago.
Well, that doesn't mean that's what they would do.
Yeah, but there are options for run production. It's just the issue, and he's right about this, is the starting rotation. I mean, 5 innings? That'd be amazing. How about 6, 7? Right? What are we talking about? These guys can't get the 5 innings. And so his focus has to be somewhere. Obviously, he would love, I'm sure, to re-sign Pete Alonso. Who knows how much that's going to cost? He would love to if Edwin Diaz does opt out. He probably will. Who knows how much that's going to cost? But their starting pitching after a certain point, let's call it mid-July, was abysmal. Abysmal. And it was not trustworthy until you brought the kids up, and it was too late at that point. And only really one of them was elite as often as you needed them to be. So how are you possibly correcting this if, as he says, your run, whatever do you call it?
Run prevention.
Run prevention?
Yes.
Doesn't get better.
Yes.
He has to focus on something. If he's wrong about it, then he's wrong about it. But he's got to focus on something.
I am very curious what he's going to say about Kodai Senga, because I have surmised over the last 2 weeks that the Mets are done with him. That's what I've surmised based on the way Mendy talked about him, the way they wouldn't bring him back up, even after he had one good start in AAA. So I am fascinated to hear what David Stearns, the man from Milwaukee, has to say about Kodai Senga, because about a few days ago, I think I even tweeted, I think he's played his last game as a New York Met. Mm. Let's see if David Stearns offers us any hint on his thoughts on Kodai.
Look, Kodai's had two very inconsistent, challenging years in a row. We know it's in there. We know there's potential. We're going to do everything we can to help get it out of him. But no, can we put him in ink as making 30 starts next year? I think that would be foolish.
Oh, he's gone. I'm right.
Oh, my God. He's gone.
That was as blatant as you could make it.
They hate him.
Be in ink to make 30 starts? No, that's foolish. Go to minor leagues and stay down there.
My inclination has turned out to be right. He's gone.
Yeah.
More from David Stearns, and we'll get back to your calls as well. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.